as soon as I got over the fact, like, hey, you're going to have to change the way you think about, you know, forget what you thought you knew about RTSs and try it this way.
Which almost sounds like a commercial.
Yeah.
Forget everything you thought you knew.
This isn't your dad's RTS. Welcome to the DL Gaming Podcast, the not-so-PC PC gaming podcast. I'm Bobby.
If you're looking for us online, Bobby is Digi on Steam and Robert Digital on Discord.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm Ender on Ender's Logic on both. Ender's Logic with a K. That's where the K from Logic comes from, guys.
It's the backstory.
It's the backstory. There it is. It's all laid out.
So we've got some exciting news. Thank you so much to all our patrons. We have reached the goal here. We are going to get VR.
Let me get that coin sound, dude.
Couple coin sounds. We're getting that VR finally. But hold your horses, though. When we decided on the Valve Index, and it turns out that
you can't get one.
You can, but you have to get on a waiting list, and they said it's going to be 2 months. And right before we send it out, then we'll bill you. So right now, we're on the waiting list. It's probably going to be 6 to 8 weeks. Hopefully it's sooner, but it was kind of, I mean, we were so excited about it. We're like, yeah, we did it, and wait 2 months.
Yeah. We actually put all our, we took that money and we invested it into Target, but I hear that stock's on fire.
My God. But that's the sound effect we need. Yeah. Or the crickets. So VR eventually happening soon. I'm excited about it. I really, you know, I'm excited to use it actually, because I want to play some puzzle games on there. I want to play those Rick and Morty puzzle games. That's what really excites me. Honestly, Half-Life Alyx, sure, I'll check it out, but I'm not like super excited about it. And the Index comes with a free copy of it, so we will be getting that.
Yep. That's what the one I'm really excited about. And just in general, having VR, I love, we have a very social house here. I mean, we got Mexican ladies coming in, doing whatever all the time. Just like, I don't know. We have things going on constantly. And to show that to people that don't even know it's a thing, they might have an inkling of something, but have no idea where it's gone. And suddenly you have the premiere edition of that, not some cell phone version that they might have seen.
Google
that,
Cardboard.
Man, you just blow brains out the back of their heads. It's crazy.
It's a great party trick.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so looking forward to that. Now our next goal on Patreon is going to be doing 2 movies on the DL. That, of course, is our other podcast that we do where we talk about a movie. This month, we actually just talked about Jojo Rabbit. That's going to be going up. Or actually, that'll be up by the time you hear this. So if you're a patron, make sure you check that out. There's a separate RSS feed for it, so you can get that from your patron page.
And spoilers, we really liked it.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that, you know, we might play around with that, because you heard us talking last week about maybe trying D&D. So I think we're going to be doing that online. We already rolled our characters. Bobby is playing a dwarf paladin. Mm-hmm. I'm playing a wizard that's going to become a necromancer once he grows up. And Sniper's playing, what is he playing? A ranger, I think, an elf ranger. So I think we're going to start on Wednesday, and maybe they'll be entertaining, but it'd be cool to like have that as Patreon content as well.
Yeah. Yeah, so you'll be getting something there.
Yeah, either one or the other.
Yeah, I'm excited to check that out. Finally, we've got a DM. It's going to happen. There was a lot of talk on the Discord, and I was a little slow to respond to it because I had such a busy week, man. Such a busy week, and I didn't even get to play that much. I barely got in my my weekly quests in Deep Rock Galactic. And then I spent quite a bit of time playing Stronghold Crusader 2.
Real quick, gotta cut in.
Yeah.
Fucking PC Gamer gave DRG a fucking 76.
76?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, dude. I was like, what are you talking about? Is the game worse than when it came out? Because when they came out, they were blowing it up just like we were.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely better now.
I'll have to read the review. I have not read any reviews since it hit 1.0. Maybe because I don't really care.
Yeah, but like, it's interesting that it's that much off.
I just, there's nothing that they can tell me about the game that I don't already know. So I guess that's why I put it off. But I would be interested to see some other people's take on it. So I'll check that out. I'll read that review.
79, but yeah.
79%?
That's better.
Okay, we got it linked in chat. Yeah, that's crazy. But Stronghold Crusader 2. So this was my first time playing any of the Stronghold series. There's a lot of these games. They date back to like the early 2000s. So I did a little research, or actually I think someone just told me, hey, Crusader 2 is the best one. Play that one. It actually has not great reviews, though. A lot of people really liked and are playing the original Stronghold, the HD remake of it. That one seems to be the most popular one. But Crusader 2, I don't know. It looks all right, but it seems like as these games have come out, the reviews for them have gotten worse and worse. Stronghold 3 has the worst reviews of all of them. Mm-hmm. Very negative. Sometimes when you have an old game like that, people expect a lot. And then when you release a new version, they don't like the direction it's gone. And, you know, so there's a lot of those people who are very staunch in their support for the old version, and it's hard to win them over. Maybe that's happening. I don't know. What I really wanted to do this week was just play kind of a smattering of all those Stronghold games. There's Stronghold like 1, 2, and 3. There's Stronghold HD. Then there's the Crusader series, Stronghold Crusader 2, 3, or I don't know. Stronghold Crusader and then Stronghold Crusader 2. It's very confusing. There's a lot of these games.
That's how I feel like about the Call of Duty series. I was like, as soon as they Call of Duty, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Yeah. They should really just start calling it Call of Duty 2020 and 2021.
Yeah.
You know, at this point, just make it easy on us. Go the EA route with the sports like NHL.
Yep.
I played Stronghold Crusader 2, and this game is different. So when you look at it, you're like, okay, looks kind of like Age of Empires, right?
Right. It's exactly what I'm thinking.
It's very similar in a lot of ways, but there are a lot of key differences, and it really threw me off and made this game very difficult for me. I struggled with this game during the single player campaign.
You think more so than somebody who hadn't played so much Age of Empires?
Probably not. I think this is a difficult game, the single player is, but I think on top of that, I've been conditioned to manage my workers and, you know, build things in a certain order and do things a certain way when it comes to a game like this, a real-time strategy game. And this really plays with the format. You remember when I talked about Conan Unconquered, like last year in April, and I was like, oh, that's crazy. They've gotten rid of villagers entirely. Like you build the building, and as long as you have enough houses to contain the villagers, like the building automatically works or whatever, you know? That's kind of what this game does, except you actually see the villagers. And if you don't have anything for them to do, they just hang out by your castle. You don't control them, however. Hmm. Enemies can kill them, but you don't control them and you don't assign them to things. They just automatically go to whatever
they gravitate to whatever is mm-hmm. near them. Yeah.
Yeah. So if I build like a wood cutting station or a forestry station,
there Billions does it that way as well.
Oh, it does.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's really interesting. Like, I'm not saying it's good or bad. It's just one way of doing it, but it takes away one more thing that you have to micromanage.
Yeah.
It lets you focus more on combat. This game calls itself, the creators call it a castle building sim or a castle sim. So they're really big on that. Like, build up your walls, build up your fortress. You're the king, the guy that you can't let die. It's just like in chess. You got a guy, and if he dies, you lose. So that's interesting as well. It's not just raise all the buildings. But he sits on top of your castle. And something that's very big in this game is like tactical advantages with height. Like, you put an archer somewhere and he can shoot pretty far. You put him on top of a tower, this guy can shoot across the whole damn map.
It's
crazy.
Yeah. In all of real combat, mm-hmm. or like Art of War, it's all about topography and where you're at.
Exactly.
And all that stuff.
Yeah. So that, and of course, you have your knights that are really tough, but they move very slow. And then, yeah, there's a lot of that in this game, like in any other RTS game, but I feel like this one really emphasizes knowing the map, being strategic, knowing your advantages based off, you know, whatever terrain you're fighting on.
Is it closer to a sim than other games?
It's kind of like a sim, but really it is, I don't know. It's more like an RTS than a sim, I'd say. There's a lot of combat in here, and you're constantly fighting with your enemies. The single player kind of sets you up to tutorialize you, and even though it does that, I feel like there's so little explained here. A lot of the negative reviews, the comments I saw was, some of them were saying that it's just too hard. They aren't clear about certain things. And I kind of felt that way too. I figured out you can increase and decrease the game speed with plus and minus just purely off a guess. You know, I was like, well, that's what other games do. I'll try it out. Turns out it worked. There's no tool tips. When you hover over a building, what does it do? What does an apothecary do? I don't know. I'm sure they explain that in the tutorial at some point, but I got stuck on one level that I just cannot beat. No joke, spent like 2.5 hours trying to beat this one level. Yeah, it was rough.
And you look it up, huh?
Well, when you start the mission, and I highly suggest this if you're going to play this game, they have hints that you can unlock. I didn't do it at first because I was like, nope, I got this. I don't need it. And at a certain point, I'm like, you know what? I should really check this out. Because sometimes when you unlock hints, it reduces whatever your reward is. I don't think there even is a reward, but for some reason I thought it would have some negative impact unlocked the hints, but I just unlocked all of them. And then it was like, make sure you build up your economy more when you do this. And,
it's a motorcycle.
Oh, a motorcycle. It's like, holy crap.
And somebody came in at the same time. Hi, yeah. Everything okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, so they really focus on, or at least in this particular level, they said, build up your economy first. And then go to war. So what I did is I perched all my archers in a very advantageous spot to defend my area. And then I just focused on building up my castle, getting a lot of resources, getting a bigger an army. But then I ran out of time. So I'm really struggling with this one level. They do have like a skirmish mode and they have multiplayer, which I think is, that's really where the meat of the game is, right? Where you want to play against other people, or you just want to like play versus the computer. But Age of Empires 3 did this, where they had a single player campaign that just gave you like little things to do. Like you didn't have access to your entire tech tree or all your units. They just said, okay, just focus on this little part and this is your mission. And they give you a nice story that's probably historically accurate. And oh, that's cool. Okay. But when you play these types of games, you want everything and you want to figure it out all on your own. So I think that's where the core of the game is. I don't think I spent enough time with this game. I really don't feel like I probably spent 8 hours playing this game and I feel like I haven't really scratched the surface on it. Like there's so much more to this game.
Are you having a good time?
As soon as I got over the fact, like, hey, you're going to have to change the way you think about, forget what you thought you knew about RTSs and try it this way.
Which almost sounds like a commercial.
Yeah.
Forget everything you thought you knew.
This isn't your dad's RTS. Yeah. So I don't know. So this one was Stronghold Crusader 2. I kind of want to check out the older one.
I feel like this is a series that's been on Steam a long time.
A very long time. Yeah. And it turns out I had all these games and I never bought them. I got them in some bundle. Like they've really put these out there. They've been around there. They've got a big fan base. People like these games. There's something to them, but they're just a little different, which is kind of nice. It's kind of nice to see this stuff.
It's good to see a different angle at things. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I always thought this whole idea of not having to control your villagers, like that was like a modern invention.
They have that in They Are Billions.
Yeah, which is a modern,
I just said that. Yeah. But that's because like you kind of need them out there because if a zombie, it's almost like your vulnerability is out there. You kind of have to protect them more than the buildings, which I think adds a little more to it. Like, I'll be expanding my walls or whatever, and I'll see some fucking villager like out in the woods. Like, what the fuck are you doing, dude? Like, you have no reason you should be out there, and you can't tell him to go back inside the gates. You have to very quickly fucking work out some sort of system to fucking cage him and get him back in the safe area. Because if he gets bit, he's a zombie. And then it just grows from there. And here we go again.
It's a liability.
I'm going to shoot that dog.
Yeah. So I don't know. I thought that was like a modern thing, but this game came out in 2014 and apparently they did it back then. So, you know, that's very interesting.
6 years ago.
Yeah. Not that long ago, I guess. Also, if one guy makes it to your, so you have to build all your like manufacturing stuff, like, you know, your apple orchard or your, Well,
I don't know why you're going to say, I thought you were going to say Apple Technology Company.
Apple Tech. you're Apple Incorporated. No, you got to build, is it Orchard or Orchard? It's Orchard. Orchard. Yeah. So you have to build your Apple Orchard, your pig farms, your hops farm, like all that stuff you have to do on this like green area. And it's always outside of the area where you can build your wall. So it's very risky. And if one little dude gets in there, he sets the whole thing on fire and the fire carries through the entire thing.
I think like the They Are Billions people definitely like took a lot of this.
Took a note from this one.
For sure. Yeah. Maybe. I wonder if it's the same people. I don't even know.
With their billions, you're defending an area constantly, right? You are going out and conquering.
Yeah, you're doing that too.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, okay. You have to go shut down the zombie factory, which is like old rundown towns.
Okay.
Cities. Yeah.
So I think to prevent that, you can build wells in this area, which I don't know. There's no tool tips. So I just started building wells everywhere. We'll see if that works. But I don't know. This week, I've got other stuff lined up, but I hate leaving Stronghold in this area. I want to play more of their games, and I want to give this one more time. Like, I feel like I haven't really got a good grip on this game yet.
Like I said last week, I actually kept my word, and I started playing Gunfire Reborn. Thank you, Shadow Master, for bringing that up to my attention last week. It is pretty much right up my alley, man. It's
Shadow Master should be getting like affiliate links for this.
Yeah, for sure, dude.
Sold single-handedly sold games.
Hundreds of copies of things.
Yeah.
So, you know, there wasn't a ton of people playing this, but it had really good reviews. It was in like the 90 percentile, like just under 200 reviews. And so it's a first-person shooter, roguelike, co-op, kind of dungeon crawler-esque, you know, kind of like a Borderlands game, but not quite so open world. Actually, not open world at all. It has procedurally generated. It's in early access, and it shows, but it's in a really good place for where it's at. So this is their debut, and, you know, you see a lot of the same things a lot of the times, but you know, you would assume with the as they go through development, you're going to see more iterations of what's possible in the random generation, because right now sometimes it almost seems like you just have this exact same run sometimes, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There's multiple characters, but you know, I put in 3 maybe 4 hours into this game and I haven't unlocked the second character. Like they want you to grind, and I don't think you can beat the first boss. Like I always say, like if you make a really good roguelike, you should be able to get to the first boss and kill him on skill alone, no matter what items you got, right?
A crazy amount of skill,
but it should be possible. On this game, I don't think it's possible at all. Like there's no way. The first boss is a DPS check, basically. And if you're not up to par and you're not doing enough damage, there's just no way. He regenerates his shield every like 15 seconds, and you just can't. There's no, I don't know. I don't think it's possible.
You have to be able to do enough damage to eventually wear him down.
Yeah, so they kind of get replay value that way by making it a DPS check, which I want to be critical of. Because it's kind of a lazy way to do development. But
oftentimes there's a microtransaction tied into that too. Like spend all this time or buy this upgrade.
Right. There's none of that. There's no like time saving things. But I'm okay with it on this game because the grind is so fun.
Yeah.
It's very satisfying. The combat's fun. At first it almost seems like it's deceptively simple. It's like, oh, just fucking get headshots and the things die. And that's really what it is. But as you add other players, you get more and more mobs, and it just becomes chaos at some point. It seems like every time I added a player, the fun really did go up, equivalent to how many players we had. And it just got more and more fun, and I was having a great time. There are these things on the wall where it takes you into like a little tiny side mission, very small, a few minutes. And a lot of times those are trapped base, not mob base. So there's a little like, there's some platforming in there. There's some timed trap evasion, stuff like that. And you get like a passive buff. And it has all the things that, you know, a good roguelike has. It has three different things you can upgrade: your gun damage, your grenade damage and your special damage. And, you know, throughout luck or however it happens, you can upgrade one of those. But sometimes it's spread out. It's all about the luck, what you get to upgrade, how you get to upgrade it, what guns you get, how upgraded that gun is. It's very simple. You'll pick up a gun, it'll have plus one on it. It's this gun plus two, this gun plus three. You know right away, it's like, oh, this is obviously good. Like, there's no, it's not like Borderlands where you got to, like, get a spreadsheet sometimes and try to figure out.
Yeah, and then the one that's mathematically better doesn't even actually feel better.
Feel better, yeah. Right. This one, I feel like every time that there was the plus was higher, it would definitely felt better. The guns are diverse. There's actually a couple mechanics I haven't seen before in a shooter. There's a lightning gun where your right click, it creates a dome in front of you. And if you shoot through that dome, your damage is up by 50%, almost like half crits. Yeah, so I thought that was really cool.
You're setting up your own combo.
You're setting up your own combo. Actually, I was thinking about it. Didn't Janice in Smite do something like that? He had a wall, and if he shot through that wall, it was crits. Maybe it wasn't Janice.
Maybe. I know Agni had like that little oil slick, and he could light it on fire.
Somebody had like a wall that he could shoot through. Anyway, and it's just fucking fun. Like, I didn't want to stop playing. I only got pulled away because, you know, real life stuff happened. I would have kept grinding and happily too. And I gotta stress how repetitive it is. Like I said, the randomness is not that random. The enemies aren't that random. It's just fucking fun. You're just calling out shit like, oh fuck, I just got away from that. Or, you know, and you're doing it as a group again, like Borderlands, you don't really co-op.
Yeah.
You're just playing with somebody. Mm-hmm. And in this, it's the same thing, but for some reason I felt like it's just felt more fun. Maybe the shooting was more fun. I don't know. I can't put my finger on it, but having a really good time. And I'm happy where it is for what it is. It's definitely worth $12. That I can say right off the bat. And so I'll be happy to check in on this in 6 months, I think. I would continue playing it if I had time, but
yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah,
and that's kind of the point I was trying to make back when I was talking about Battlefront 2. You know, the grind, a grind isn't a grind if you enjoy it, you know? So sometimes that word is automatically has a negative connotation, but yeah, I mean, if you're enjoying it,
yeah,
overwhelmingly positive reviews, very good.
Oh, dude. That was at like 200 copies last week. So they've tripled their number.
Yeah. Well, obviously, DL Gaming bump.
Yeah. Boom. There it is.
Or should we say the Shadow Master bump?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's pulling the strings around here, guys. He is the Shadow Master. We're just the puppets. Oh, my God.
That's the boss there.
Oh, that's a boss?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. He's cool.
Nice. Good information here. All right.
Very quickly on a couple things here. Tabs had a Wild West update. So they're very quickly. Tabs is a battle simulator where you play toy soldiers. You set up your side, you go up against their side, and these like puppet like dolls attack each other until one of the sides wins. It's very comical. It's one of my favorite games of last year. And every once in a while, they come out with an update with a new, what would you call it? A new,
new class, new, no, not a class.
No, it's like a new time period, I guess. That's what it's based on. Mm-hmm. So you have your Renaissance, you have your Vikings, you have your, cavemen, you have farmers, stuff like that. And now the Wild West came out and, they have some really funny, there's a guy who took pieces of cactus and put them all over his body. So when people hit him, the cactus, he's almost like a porcupine, but also he's immune to fucking arrows. I must have hit this guy. I was doing some practicing. I must have hit this guy with 500 arrows, and he just kept on coming like a fucking Terminator, like a cactus Terminator, dude. It adds a lot of hilarity to it. There's also these horse guys that lasso people. They're supposed to tie people up and like drag them across the map, but I haven't seen it successfully done once. So it's kind of like a throwaway one. As always, having a great time with this game. and I highly recommend it. It's just one of my favorites from last year, and I play it every time an update comes out. This game is, mark my words, this game is going to blow up when the character creation comes out. When people start doing fucking Star Wars and all this stuff, you know, the Harry Potter or whatever.
So much potential for there's the Steam Workshop.
It's going to be huge.
Mm-hmm. Not to mention levels that you could design out of this. Really challenging ones, too, that require you to think and solve.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty great. Right now, the workshop is live, but it's only for battles. Like, it sets up battles and the where you do it and who... how they. The way you make your army is battle points, right? So you, this unit, you get a giant, he's going to cost 3,000 battle points, right? But a little hobbit only costs 60 points. So that's how they do it. Mm. So they put you in certain situations where you might have to go up against 47 Valkyries, and they give you 4,000 points, and you just got to have to figure it out. That's part of it, because every time one of these comes out, they come out with a whole new set of those. And then on top of that, on the fucking mod page, people set these up, and there's hundreds, if not thousands of them. And there's some really good ones.
Nice. Yeah. How much is this game now? It's still in early access, $15.
It was free on Epic. Did you pick it up, Bobby?
I did. Yeah. Good. It was free on Epic Game Store, I think back in December.
Good.
Very good reviews. These guys would be great to reach out to for an interview as well.
Yeah, for
sure. It'd be cool to talk to them. Landfall is the developer.
Yeah, they also came up with totally accurate
Battlegrounds.
Battlegrounds, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which is...
Oh, Cluster Truck as well.
Oh, I love that game.
Yeah. It's actually a pretty good game there.
Did you play it?
Yeah. I played a little bit of it.
Oh, I had you sit down and play it. Or did you play it on your...
No, I played it outside of that.
Oh, okay.
But...
I fucking... it's so much fun.
Yeah, that was the game you almost refunded and then, like, did a 180 on.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Yeah, that'd be great. Landfall, we should hit them up.
Sniper. Remnant from the Ashes. Just want to say that I beat the game. Very happy with the game's length and with the ending. I paid $15 for the DLC, which I don't even know what I get. I just kind of did it because... Fucking, I love the game so much, and I'm hoping to get some more out of it. So, I didn't even look into it. It was like, I bought it sight unseen. Mm-hmm. We'll see what that adds. Because I think the roguelike version or thing is already built into the original game.
Oh, that wasn't part of the DLC.
No, you could just play, I think it's called Adventure Mode or Exploration Mode. One of the two. And you just play that way. You start with a pistol, and you just see what you get and go through. So I don't know what the DLC adds. I just bought it, one, to support the developers, and two, just to see more awesome shit.
Nice.
And three, last night my headphones took a shit. They broke. It's my own fault. I've dropped these things so many times. The dog just pulls them off my head fucking so many times. But they were champions, man. HyperX something or other. I bought them some years ago. And I just mistreated the shit out of these. So... I'll tell you guys what, I put something in the hardware, but I want some recommendations. I put it, somebody said Sennheiser's 599s, I think they are, HD 599s or 499s. That's up there. That's like, they're $200 from Sennheiser.com. I was looking at the reviews, 599s. And yeah, the reviews are pretty great.
I mean, those are nice headphones, though, dude. Like, you got to take care of those if you're.
I know. I'm already thinking about where to put my hook, like away from my computer, so it doesn't happen anymore.
This is a nice feature, and I think Sennheiser has this on a lot of their models. The plug, the the 3.5 millimeter will just pull right out of the headphone.
Yeah, that's so good, because like that
it
way
gets yanked on.
It gets yanked on or whatever. Like, you just want to move them. It's just easier without the thing. But yeah. Minnie told me this a long time ago, and it just makes sense. Why buy anything gaming? Like, audio files are way ahead of the game. You're just paying extra. It's kind of like when you put wedding in front of something, a wedding dinner, a wedding dress, a wedding, anything is like four times the price, and the quality is actually less. You know what I mean? Same thing with gaming, at least in the audio space. I don't need a microphone. I already have one of those. So I just need really good audio.
Yeah. Sennheiser does have some good models that include the headset or the microphone as well. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you don't need that.
Yeah, don't need it.
Yeah, this would be great. The price is right. These look good. Sennheiser's a great, great brand.
Yeah. But if anybody has some secret code to something better, let me know. I haven't made the purchase yet.
All right. All right. It's time for On the Radar, part of the show where we talk about games that have come to our attention. Games both old and new. First one is a game that I meant to bring up last week, and I don't know, I think it accidentally got deleted from our show notes, but this game is called Maneater. Now, you've probably seen this game advertised. This is by Tripwire Interactive, makers of Killing Floor 2. Mm-hmm. Very, one of my favorite games to play, one of those wave survival, like my favorite wave survival, hands down. This is a game where you play as a shark, and you just go around and eat people. Basically Jaws, but you get to be the shark. I've watched some streams and some gameplay footage of this. There's even parts where the shark just flops up on land to get like a power up or something, then flops back into the ocean. It's a little comical, but it looks like a lot of fun. I mean, this, I'm surprised this has not been done before. I know there was a co-op game maybe about 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Man like, versus sharks, yeah. Scuba divers versus sharks. Like a PvP game to really take off.
Yeah,
but this is a single player game. Maybe it has a multiplayer element. Let's see. I'm on the Steam page. Nope, single player only, which I'm fine with. Like, I want to play this game. I am interested in this game. It is not on Steam though. It is an Epic Store exclusive. I think $40 right now. Oof,
yeah, that is steep, man.
It's a little high up there. I mean, Killing Floor 2 was $30, but that's a game you get so many hours out of.
Right.
This game, yeah, Depth, thank you. Depth was the asymmetric PvP with scuba divers versus sharks. I think we played that with Chi.
We did. Yeah. I think we got some copies or something. I forgot how it worked out.
Yeah, we bought a 4-pack. We had a good time with that.
So I did watch some reviews on this, actually. There's a guy whose video is called, like, Buy, Rent, Wait, whatever it's called, wait for sale. That guy,
I know that guy. Yeah,
yeah. He was saying that like the actual action, the hunting down and the biting and all the swimming is all so good that the RPG elements and the missions kind of detract away from that. Like he just wanted to get back to fucking biting shit. You know what I mean? And sometimes you have to run off and do whatever kind of missions, like retrieve missions or whatever it is. Yeah, but he didn't say it was a bad game. He got an early copy of this, but I'm glad you're going to play something new.
I've been playing a ton of new stuff.
New? Like what?
I don't know. Look at the old show notes, man. Like everything I've been playing, Fort Triumph, that game was new.
That's true.
I don't know. Like the reviews I've seen have been pretty mixed on this. Not like mixed, like bad, but like, not like super good.
Yeah,
not like outstanding, but pretty good. I don't really care, man. Like you get to play as a shark that runs around underwater, eats people.
It's like a water T-Rex, dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like this is, I like the idea. Sold on the idea of the game alone and the fact that it's Tripwire Interactive. They make pretty good games. So that, and yeah, there are some strategic parts to this game as well. I noticed there's like a talent tree that you get upgrades for your shark and play them in different ways.
Are you going to pay $40 for it on Epic?
I don't know, man. Maybe I'll wait for a sale, but I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe.
I've never bought a single game on Epic. I take all their free ones, but I've never actually bought anything on Epic. Maybe this will be my first one.
Sure, not Russian, Bobby?
Pretty sure. all right, next game is Honey, I Joined a Cult.
Dude, when I saw this, I was like, this is so up Bobby's fucking... like this is right up his alley. This is even the first thing that I saw about it said it's prison simulator, but about a cult or something like that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's a simulation game where you're a cult leader, right? And then you have to build up your cult and get as many followers as you can. You got to do, I saw all kinds of stuff in the trailer. You got to do propaganda. You got to get on the TV. You got to all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's a great premise for a game. The graphics look very similar to Prison Architect or Academia School Simulator. That top-down view where you build rooms and you see the people and their little emotions flying up. But yeah, that's just a fun idea for a game. just a wacky out there idea.
I like it because it has, it's going to have a lot of mechanics that other games just don't have, you know, like how well can you keep this bullshit up and people trying to escape that, but you don't have windows on you or you don't have locks on your doors. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like if they do it right, it has tons of potential.
Yeah. This game does not have a release date yet or a price. I wonder if it's going to be an early access type thing. Developer is Soul Survivor Games. Looks like their only game on record on Steam. And then, of course, the title's great. Honey, I Joined a Cult.
Yeah.
Fantastic. All right. Next up is Desperados 3. This is a tactical turn-based Western.
Yeah, and which has been tried a few times, but I don't think we've ever played any of the other versions.
There was that one that came out not too long ago that had like a supernatural element to it, yeah. Hard West. It looked good at first, but then, I don't know, I kind of lost interest in that game when it actually released.
Yeah. This one, so I thought it was, I actually confused this one for that one, but once I saw that there was multiple classes and multiple characters with their own unique play styles, my interest peaked quite a bit more. From what I saw, there's like a bounty hunter, which is kind of like a stealthy type dude. He used subterfuge and kind of sneaky tactics, dropping rocks on people, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. There is like a witch doctor who mind controls people. There is I love this idea. There's a sultry vixen who kind of like woos the guys and then stabs them in the back or whatever. There's a gang leader, I think. I don't know what he does. And then there's just your general gunslinger who goes in there kind of like, you know, Clint Eastwood or something and lights up the house. But I think the graphics look great. I think the vision cones on the enemies, the way I was seeing how they do it, it has multiple levels of detection. It just all kind of makes sense. It looks like a great game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Western theme's always fun, too. So this is Desperados 3. I've never heard of this series before.
Yeah,
it kind of sounds familiar, but it's such a generic name that maybe I've heard about it and didn't pay any attention to it. The cool thing about this is you can download the demo right now at GOG.com. I'll put a link in the description, but this game is on Steam right now with a release date of June 16th. Very close, 2 weeks away. It's going to be $50, which is pretty expensive, but that demo being out there, I mean, you can play this game and see if you like it, see if it's going to be worth it.
Didn't THQ Nordic disappear? Didn't they shut down? Or THQ shut down and THQ Nordic?
They sold all their licenses. Yeah, that was a whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, I am melting under the bright lights here, dude. I'm like literally, you're going to be able to see my nipple soon. I'm going to go get a fucking cold drink. What else is next? Minecraft Dungeons. I kind of wanted to talk about that. Let's get through that.
Okay. Minecraft Dungeons came out recently. This is a Minecraft dungeon crawler.
Yeah, it's basically Diablo straight up. From the reviews that I had seen, they didn't try doing anything new. They just stuck with the Diablo formula that works. Everybody loves it. And they just stuck it in a Minecraft world. It actually looks pretty good. Minecraft is just super fucking blocky. You know, it's just this thing. You got to either love it or hate it. I think I'm on the hate it side of it. But in watching some of the action on this game, it looked pretty, for being these huge, giant blocks, looks pretty fucking good. The reviews have been pretty solid on it. I think it's $20 if you pick it up.
It's $20, but you can't buy it on Steam. You can't buy it on Epic. You can't buy it on Microsoft Store, I don't think, either. Like, it's its own. You had to actually go to a website, click buy, and download, like, a separate launcher or something for it. I'm not sure, but it seemed really weird that you couldn't get it from other venues. I could be wrong on that. Maybe it is on the Microsoft Store.
I would assume so. I did want to know if it's going to be or has been announced for a Switch. Because I would love Sam and Mila to play a dungeon crawler together.
I looked that up, but I'm almost positive that it is going to be on Switch.
Yeah.
Because when you go to the page to buy it, I think they ask you what version you want, and it has quite a few options there. Let's see. US Store, get Minecraft, computer, mobile, console, or others. This isn't the one I saw. Yeah, Nintendo Switch. You do have an option there.
Oh, it is?
All the consoles. Yeah, okay, cool. $30 on Switch.
Yeah, it's always $10 to $20 more.
Yeah, I mean, it's from what I've heard about this game, I watched a few videos on it, and a lot of what people said is there's nothing new here. There's nothing that's like, oh, wow, that's a cool idea. And it seems a little more catered towards like younger people or you know, people who are fans of Minecraft and just want it in a dungeon crawler format, but nothing that's going to break the mold or thoroughly impress you.
And you don't always have to do it. Sometimes you, if you develop a solid game, with an IP that's beloved, sometimes that's good enough right there. Because sometimes they rely on the IP so much that the game is actually trash because they just know they're going to make money.
Yeah.
So at least the game is solid.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. I mean, it's passable. It's acceptable. So
yeah,
that's cool.
We got a lot of thank yous to give out.
Mm-hmm. Me to go through that while you do whatever you got to do? Okay.
Just
sweating. Yeah, dude, you're glistening. No, I'm okay. Must be whatever you're drinking there. All right, guys, as we talked about earlier in the beginning of the show, we finally reached our Patreon goal. So thank you so much to everyone who's a Patreon. We got a few, not new patrons, but people who have upped their donations. JP, thank you very much. And Gerotrom, thank you. Also, last week, we didn't have our alerts working in Twitch. So I apologize. They should be working now. Hopefully they are. But we missed a donation. So thank you very much to Dirk Rocks for that $15 donation. Also, we've got some subs coming in. Looks like M. Pilaf gifted 2 subs. Thank you very much. And Recycled, how many months is that? 22 months. One of the oldest subscribers. Almost 2 years. That is insane. Might be the record. Might be the record. All right, guys. And just a quick reminder, too. DLGCon still happening. We're working out some details. I know it's a little late in the game, but if you're still interested in that, then jump on our Discord and let us know. We got a separate channel for it as well. And hopefully, Amelia will be back here in a moment because it's time for news. What keeps beeping? All right. I'm starting news with Adam. All right, first bit of news that we have here is, oh, you know what? This is probably a good time to remind you guys that we are still taking calls through Discord. So if you want to chime in briefly on whatever we happen to be talking about, contact Sniper. He'll be waiting in the Discord, and you can be on the show. All right, first bit of news, BlizzCon 2020 is canceled. I think we've already talked about this. This may be like old news here, but they have said that they're going to do some sort of online only event in 2021. My impression here is BlizzCon is like, thank God we can cancel it this year. Because last year seemed like a reach. It's just like people were ravenous for something, you know, give us more content, give us more games, give us some big announcements, you know, leak those deets. And they were like, okay, we got Overwatch 2 in 3 or 4 years, Diablo 4 a couple of years down the road. You know, it was just like they were really grasping at some straws. So I don't know, man. Like, did we need a BlizzCon 2020? Were there going to be any big announcements? New character in Overwatch? Yeah.
I mean, that said, they probably make a killing every year. I mean, it's a $300 ticket.
Price has gone up.
Yeah, I'm sure they were. I don't think they were like, oh, yeah, we got away with this one, boys. But, yeah. And, you know, maybe this is a thing to a show of things to come. Like, maybe they'll just switch to fully online from now on. Who knows? Yeah. Or maybe not after this one, but like, or little by little, moving to a digital format. Because if you quadruple the number but drop down the price considerably, you're going to make more money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure they make money off this convention and it's great publicity for them, but it just seems like the expectations get higher and higher every year. And that's not necessarily their fault. Like people are just like, they want a miracle every year, right? Like they come in expecting a whole lot from Blizzard. And I just, I think they need a year off.
I know. They're also setting, there's a standard set now, dude. It's been like 2 years since something big or awesome happened. So maybe people are just, their expectations aren't so high. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like they dropped the ball a couple, not even dropped the ball.
Maybe the expectations are lower. There was a year where they didn't have BlizzCon. I think it was 2012. Not 100% sure, but somewhere around there. They skipped a year. So I don't know. Maybe it's time, but they are going to do that online only thing. It's going to be a little bit later, so they'll have time to get stuff together. And I'm sure they'll have a lot of things to announce, and I'm sure it'll be leaked months before.
Yep.
So I look forward to that. All right, next bit of news here. We've got some movie news. Cate Blanchett is confirmed to play Lilith in the Borderlands movie that is coming up and being directed by Eli Roth. Eli Roth, of course, the director of a lot of horror movies, Hostel, Green Inferno, did a lot of stuff with Tarantino.
Are they going for like a graphic movie, you feel? Like a rated R? I hope so.
I feel like it'd be better if they did.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of, I think Borderlands lends itself a little better to like more adult themes.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Is Cate Blanchett the lady that was in Lord of the Rings too? She was there like the elf in the woods.
Was that her?
Like the elf queen, wood elf queen.
Some of these actresses and actors, like I get a lot of them mixed up. Let's take a look at her IMDb. I mean, you know the name, right? She's been in stuff.
Yeah. It's her.
Okay.
Because I was thinking she's doing a lot of like sci-fi and fantasy and stuff. I wonder why she got picked as the chick. Maybe she's the one that does this kind of stuff.
She does kind of look like her. You dye her hair red. I can see it.
Oh, yeah. I see it too, for mm-hmm. sure. She's good in Thor Ragnarok. She always does good.
Yeah.
Does well.
Yeah, there's a side-by-side picture of her back when she was blonde. This movie is in pre-production, though. This movie's far, far away from being finished. So we got a little while on that. But it'll be interesting with Eli Roth directing. That could change, too. This could all change, but yeah. It has been confirmed on Twitter, but, you know, things still do change. All right, in more video game movie news, Sonic the Hedgehog is getting a sequel. This is coming from Variety. They had an exclusive story on this.
Now, when you saw it, you said that like it's wide open for a sequel, right?
Yeah, they leave it open at the end for a sequel. So you kind of see it coming. They probably want to franchise it. The same director and the same writers are coming back to write the script, but they have not confirmed Ben Schwartz coming back as the voice of Sonic. I thought he did a good job there. I like Ben Schwartz ever since he was John Ralphio on Parks and Recreation. I always thought he was pretty funny.
Something is cosmically imbalanced, dude, if Sonic does better at the box office than Mario's ever done. Like, I feel like Mario's got it.
Well,
it's so hard to make a movie out of Mario, man. It's just a weird thing. It's a mushroom trip.
Well, if they didn't take the live action route, then maybe they could do that. But yeah, I think in the end, it ended up making over $300 million. The movie did very well.
Damn.
Even everything leading up to it, all the issues, like the movie did well.
Yeah.
I'm not like super stoked about this though, because it's a kid's movie. Well, I think I talked about it when it came out back in February.
I'm shocked that you were shocked that it was a kid's movie.
I didn't realize it was such a kid's movie.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm repeating what I said back in February, but it was like me, one other sweaty nerd in there, and then just nothing but kids and families that kept talking through the whole thing. And I could tell he was a little taken aback too. Like, wow, wasn't really expecting this. Yep. All right. That's going to be it for news.
I feel so much better, dude. I was like overheating. I don't know what the fuck was going on.
Okay. All right. Are we going to do Mexican food?
Sure.
Bobby tries some Mexican.
So I teased this last week. It's called a Bubulubu Mini. We didn't want to give you the Max because you're not ready for the Max, dude.
No, I'm good with the Mini here.
I think you're going to get off easy, man. This is just like a nice
Bubulubu.
Yeah.
So from the package, it looks like there's some red gooey filling and a white crusty filling all wrapped in chocolate. Mm-hmm. You keep giving me the chocolate ones.
Yeah. So Mila's dad was here today and he lives in Tijuana. And he was like, you do what with what? He's like, oh, I'll bring you some crazy shit. And I was like, yes.
Yeah, dude.
Please bring me the craziest shit you have in all of your land. So hopefully by next week. Yeah, I think this is just a delicious snack, right?
Yeah, I mean, this...
I haven't had one.
It tastes... The red filling tastes very familiar. Mm. I know I've tasted something like that before. But yeah, this is like a little mini candy bar. Mm. This is kind of like the mazapan that I had,
last
week.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like... You could pass this off as like an American snack. It's good. For sure. It's pretty good. It's kind of like jelly in the middle.
But from now on, we should probably get it. Stay away from chocolate, you think?
You can, but I'm not the biggest fan of chocolate.
Yeah.
This one's okay. Didn't blow my mind. I think so far my favorite one has probably been the Salsa Getty.
Whoa. See, when you describe things, dude, I never have any idea whether you like them or dislike them.
It's kind of like Stronghold Crusader 2, yeah. Man. You got to forget what you think you know about candy.
Call back.
Yeah, isn't there... There's Mexican candy with, like, bugs in it and stuff, right?
Oh, yeah.
bring me that weird shit.
We have... So, Roberta loves mezcal, which is a different form of tequila. It's unrefined, I believe. Anyway, mm-hmm. The salt she uses when she's... is made out of ants. It's just like salty ants or for some reason the ants are super salty. And yeah, we just spray ants all over the oranges and then eat that with the drink. It's delicious. Really good.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. It's like spicy salt. Yeah.
Spicy salt.
Yeah.
All right. Before we get into listener questions, we're going to bring in Nick here. He's going to be our DM for Dungeons and Dragons. And he's going to talk to us a little bit about his idea for the campaign here. Nick, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, guys. How are you guys doing?
Hey, pretty good. Are we good for Wednesday, you think?
Yeah, totally. We are totally down for Wednesday. I have everything loaded up in Roll20. Nice. I'm going to invite you guys to the game probably Tuesday or Monday, whatever you guys are comfortable with. And go ahead and get it going. But I was coming on to announce what campaign we're going to be running.
Okay. So we're going with vanilla, or are you doing? I thought you were doing.
No, we're going with vanilla.
Okay.
Just to start out, because everybody, you know, there's definitely a lot of new people here. And this is actually something that's been around since third edition, and it's actually been around since the year 2000, and it's been revised and rewritten for fifth edition, which is what we're playing. And it's known as the Sunless Citadel.
So it's a pretty famous campaign.
It's not super famous, but it's pretty up there. The great thing about it is that you can speed through it and finish it in 4 hours, or you can take 10 hours.
Okay.
And so it'll be 2 to 4 sessions of, or 2 to 5 sessions, depending on how long we take. It's a good beginning, quest, and yeah. Then we'll decide where we want to go from there.
Cool, man. Glad you did it. So, Bobby, so you made your character? Yeah, you mm-hmm. did, right?
Yeah.
What did you think of D&D Beyond? Did you do the quick one, or did you do the step-by-step one?
I did the step-by-step one. I probably should have done the quick one, because there was a lot of stuff I just didn't really understand. And, you know, I'm not trying too hard to understand all the little ins and outs. I'm just kind of like, whatever. You know, for instance, you have to choose which items that you're going to have and you're going to equip, but then that also is a weight. So what's the downside of the weight? You know, obviously you're going to be heavier. I'm sure that
encumbrance.
Yeah.
You can hit a level of encumbrance. Mm-hmm. Although I don't even know. See, it's up to the DM. He's probably not even going to use that. Are you?
So I'm not the biggest like weight/food guy. If you're carrying around like a giant hammer, it might impede you. You know what I'm saying? Like if you're wearing like 40 pounds of armor and you're wearing another and you have like stuff in your backpack and it's even heavier, it might get a negative.
Like if you have ridiculous stuff,
ultra realistic people that are like, oh, you're carrying 60 pounds. You can only travel 6 miles in one day instead of 10 and stuff like that. It's not how it works.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about our characters though. Emilio, what did you name your character? First of all,
his name is Blue Red. Yeah, I almost don't even want to give away anything because I have such a backstory. And I think, Nick, are you writing any of what I told you into the story, or are you going to be incorporating it?
Where did you send me that?
Okay, I'll show it to you later. I'm a gnomish wizard, and I have severe OCD, and that's going to be being played out within the way my play style and also my character's reaction to things. All things must be balanced for him.
Okay. And then Sniper's going to be playing with us. I'm not sure. I don't want to talk about his character, but
he said he's kind of like a budget, like I think he said like a poor man's Witcher. He just goes out and kills people, things for humans. Like we need a deer, they just pay him, and he's like a hunter in the forest. Hmm. He's a elvish ranger, I believe.
Okay. Now they give you an option. When I created my character, I named him Dwarf Paladin, thinking like, oh, that'll just be like, you know, for me. Like label him so I know, but apparently that's like his name.
Yeah.
So I might just roll with it. His name's Dwarf, last name Paladin.
Well, also happens to be.
But he is a Dwarf Paladin. He's very old. He's very religious. He's a little set in his ways, you know, because he's so old. You know, he's from the mountain. Those people, they're from a different time.
Yeah.
You know, so they...
You know, racist, really.
He's got some strong opinions about certain races, but, you know... It's partial. Dwarves live a long time until they have a chance to really become curmudgeons. yeah, so I don't know. I know there's a place to type in, like, your backstory there, but yeah. I don't know if that's, like, officially it, and if I should have, like... I kind of, like, chose whatever the optional ones were, but I don't know if, like, I can edit that and create it my own, but...
Okay. Yeah. Cool.
I don't know. But this will be a good experience. Are we going to stream this, or... We'll record it.
I think we should record it.
Mm-hmm. We should record it. I don't think we should live stream it.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I was thinking too. Cause there's going to be a lot of figuring out of things that may not be that entertaining and could be cut in the final edit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Cool, man. Well, I'm looking forward to this.
Is there anything else you wanted to mention, Nick?
Get ready for some comedic NPCs, some serious ones, and try to think how you guys are going to be meeting each other up, I should say.
Yeah,
because
we were kicking around some ideas already.
Yeah, because that's a really big thing. How do I say this? The trope of, oh, yes, travelers that meet inside of a tavern has been done like a bajillion times. Mm-hmm. So you can be like the fucking Power Rangers and known each other forever, or you can just, you know... be random passerbys, but yeah, definitely decide how you guys want to introduce your characters to themselves.
Pretty sure the Power Rangers met in high school, dude. I think your reference is way off, but anyway, I do like, so Nick likes to write or substitute, creatures from other games, like video games or other stories and put them in as placeholders for, you know, it gives them the stats of whatever D&D gives you. You know what I mean? Yeah. So now you're fighting a Pikachu, whatever.
It's second not evolution. Like that, but definitely.
Yeah.
Fantasy. Yeah. That'd be hilarious.
All right, boss. Talk to you later.
All right. See you guys later.
See ya. Okay. That'll be fun. So Wednesday that's happening. Just anything after 3 is good for me.
Okay. We'll figure out a time.
Cool. Before we get into listener questions, quick shout out. Thank you, SOCOM45, for that 2-month subscription. 2 months? Man, I thought it was more. All right.
Thanks, man.
Listener questions. We've got a lot of them.
Yeah.
First one is coming from Nyanko. Been playing a lot of DRG with him.
Oh, good.
Do you look at the community hub on Steam for every game that you play? For me, it's a ritual to go there once before uninstalling a game to look at all the great fan art. Do you avoid going there to avoid spoilers? Do you ever find a reason to continue playing because of the hub?
Very, very rarely do I click on that tab. Although I went through the DRG one not that long ago, and I was like, Bobby would probably enjoy a lot of this stuff.
It's almost like, I'm glad he brings this up because I do enjoy the community hub. I go there quite a bit for games that I'm really into. If it's just like a whatever game, nah, not usually. But
check out the Binding of Isaac fan art, man. Fucking I'm sure top notch shit.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great place for fan art, for videos, for guides, like whatever you want. But what I really like about the new Steam redesign, they've put the community hub, like if you scroll down on the game's page in your library, you'll see community hub content right there. So it kind of puts it more front and center where people will notice it. And I really like that. I think it's a great way. If you're really into a game, it's almost like going to a Reddit with pictures.
I was about to say, it's like a social media network just for that one game that you love.
Yeah.
And it's really underappreciated.
Yeah. And I always felt like for years, almost a decade, I've been saying like Steam is really missing out on like this social networking side. They could be like the gaming Facebook, basically, right. You know, they could do so much more with that.
I'm sure that came up at a meeting.
Yeah. Well, they've kind of already done it. And the community hub and the activity feed is all part of that. And I don't know, the new redesign brought more of that front and center, which I like, but still, I think there's a lot of potential there. I really enjoy going to the community hub for games that I really enjoy and are obscure games like Star Wars Rebellion or Jedi Knight. And, you know, what's odd is to see your own stuff pop up there near the top, you know, right. Like a screenshot that I took on a game that's not too popular. So you have a better chance to rise to the top. But yeah, if you haven't checked out the community hub, just find a game you like and check that out. Yeah. I highly recommend it.
Yep.
I don't really worry about spoilers. I know you can tag things as spoilers and I think it disappears after 30 days. Like it removes the cover. But I'm not too concerned.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about it. It's usually like funny little videos or what people think is funny. Yeah. It's just like a little fucking social media platform just for the game that you love. It's pretty great.
Yeah. All right. Next question is coming from the Livingston. Why does Mexican candy have seeds in it? We already told you, man. You gotta remove your definition of candy when you try Mexican candy.
Yeah, a lot of it
it's
does,
a very
man.
Broad term.
Ooh, I gotta get you a saladito. Yeah, that's a good one. Good. Yeah, and that has a pit in it. It's like it's a shriveled up date that's covered in salt and chili and lime.
All right.
It just does, dude. I don't know. I can't tell you. They didn't have factories, so they just grabbed whatever was around and put it together.
Mm-hmm. All right. Next question from Sheer Ponage. What other hobbies do you have other than PC gaming?
Let's do each other, Bobby. I would say that you're a huge movie buff. I think that would be your number two hobby.
Yeah.
Maybe even your number one. I think
if it wasn't for the podcast, yeah, movies, I would be spending more time in movies than I would be with video games. But yeah. Maybe. I don't know. But yeah, definitely movies.
I don't even know what mine is, so good luck with this.
I don't know. When you get older, you kind of like shed a lot of hobbies.
Yeah, because you don't have time.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
For me, shit.
UFC?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. UFC and camping from time to time. I guess that's pretty much it. I don't really get into that much stuff. Browsing Reddit. That's my hobby.
Internet stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, while we're talking about movies, though, we should talk about Letterboxd again, because that has kind of blown up in the Discord community. I think like at least like 10 people joined this week.
Mm-hmm.
Letterboxd is basically social media, but for movies. So, you know, you can do more. Like I was just looking for a platform where I could create a watch list, because right. I had just been bookmarking movies in my browser, like, oh, watching this, watch that, need to watch that. So I know IMDb has like, you can make your own watch list there to remind you of what movies you wanted to watch. But I stumbled across Letterboxd. I'm like, this site does it all. I mean, you can friend people, you can see what they're watching. You can create lists of like, you know, I've got one list on my profile of like obscure horror movies that you probably missed that are really good. But you can make like any type of list that you want. You can
within your list that you already have, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. Or you can create a watch list of just like movies that you want to watch. You can rate movies. But here's the cool thing about Letterboxd that I really am coming to discover. Whenever I watch a movie, I always go on there to see what other people said about it. It's basically like Steam reviews, but for movies. It's right. people.
Because they're so small, they're digestible.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes people write a really long one, but most people write them pretty short and they're very to the point, and it's their honest opinion of just like average Joe's out there.
Because they get nothing out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a,
yeah they're
it's
not being
true.
Paid for it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's great just to go there for the reviews, or even if I'm thinking about watching a movie, or I think about like an old movie, like, oh man, I wonder what Raiders of the Lost Ark got or what people are saying about that. You know, it's just like Steam reviews, man. It's like you get that honest opinion, very brief and to the point. It's not like all feathered up like some professional review. So, and plus it has the star rating, which is gives you a good idea of what the movie is, you know, how good it is.
How does Letterboxd make money?
They have advertising. They have advertising and they have a paid plan that you can get where it removes the ads and gives you some other benefits.
Hmm.
But yeah, it's a great site. You should be on there. Check out the Discord. I think it's like posted or pinned in the film and television channel. But Yeah, it's great. And it's really cool. I really am glad that a lot of our listeners are on there because I like to see what movies they're watching and what they thought of them.
Cool. JP coming in with the Twitch Prime sub, 17 months.
17 months. Nice.
Let's go.
All right. Let's see. Next question from Warconius. Halfway through the year, best game of the year so far. Biggest surprise, biggest disappointment. How much fatter is everyone?
I think it's pretty easy to say for me. I mean, I've been talking about Remnant for, this whole time. Although, I don't know what year it came out. It came out last year, didn't it? Like early last year.
Yeah.
Or maybe the year before that. Right. And then also Ape Out came out last year. But man, dude, Ape Out fucking blew me away. That was the surprise hit. That was the one, like, I've never played anything like it, really. Just the mixing of the sound and the action and the way it looks. That was a breakaway hit. Though.
It's so short. It just seems like, I don't know.
It's hard. Yeah. I was like, could it be game of the year? I don't know. I got to the point where I beat the game and you get to play it backwards, I guess, which kind of makes it a different game, but stoked, super stoked about that game.
Yeah. For this year, I don't know. It's still going to be Cyberpunk 2077, right? I mean, Doom Eternal was great. Maybe that's up there. I'd have to take a closer look at what I played so far this year, but I've been pretty good about playing newer titles. So I don't know. I might have some better picks than I did last year. Biggest disappointment, though, not a lot of huge disappointments for me this year.
Yeah.
Nothing Anthem level.
I felt like, Crucible looked like it was going to be more. It looked like it was going to have more depth.
It had the potential, yeah. But at the same time, it's a big risk. It's a long shot.
Yeah. Not a bad game. Just like not what I expected. Yeah. I expected more MOBA. I don't know. I expected some idea that I had come up with. I don't know. I superimposed some ideas.
Yeah, I thought maybe it was going to be a little more drawn out and a little more strategy involved, but it is kind of quicker paced. Yeah. All right. Next question. Oh, Warconius has a few here. What's Chi's status? Is she alive? Is she single yet?
She's happy as far as I know. She's been staying away because she had been exposed to a lot of people early on. So she was trying to be safe. And then now, I don't know. I haven't talked to her in a couple weeks. She's doing really good. She moved in with her boyfriend.
Yeah.
Then he moved away. He got deployed. So she has an apartment to herself.
And she got a new car.
Yeah, she got a new car. That's all. I talked to her about 2 weeks ago. That's where the information came from. But maybe she's enjoying the not DLG life. I don't know. It's a lot of pressure showing up.
Yeah.
Every weekend.
Well, and he wants to know about Ray, too. Is Ray still alive?
Ray, I believe him and his girl, like, aren't working. So they're just stuck in the house with no furniture because they just moved. They weren't able to get it. Chad's in the same boat, too. They just moved to a new apartment, can't buy furniture. Like, both of them, they haven't been able to buy furniture. Jeez. So they're just, in this apartment, empty apartment with echoes when you talk to them.
Weird. Yeah.
It is weird.
But I've seen Ray around. He's been playing stuff on Steam, and I've seen him in, like, other Discord servers and stuff. So, yeah, he's still around. Atrocious asks, how, if at all, do you think the podcast will be affected moving forward with the whole pandemic thing?
I feel like the pandemic's winding down.
Well, it's not. We're acting like it is, though.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Things are starting to go back to normal just because at some point, I guess they have to. And
until the race war started. And so.
Yeah.
Fucking La Mesa's on fire right now. Two banks burned down last night.
Yeah.
In La Mesa, which is 15 minutes from here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Things are pretty crazy downtown. It was kind of tricky getting in and out of downtown today where I live. And it's kind of strange to see. Just people out in the streets agitated and businesses boarding up their shops, just like hunkering down. Like it's weird.
I think the reaction was compounded with the people being home for so long too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
There's just a lot of tension, right?
Yeah. There's a lot of tension.
Yeah, but as far as the podcast goes, it hasn't really affected it that much.
No.
I mean, we haven't been able to, before this all happened, we were starting to have some local San Diegan streamers or people into gaming.
Yeah, like, we were going to
guest appearances. Yeah, we had a lot of those
people in and out.
Lined up. And yeah. That stopped abruptly. But other than that, it really hasn't affected the podcast that much.
Yeah.
Had more time to play games.
Yeah, that's good. Basically nothing changed for me.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. On the same note, this is another part of Atrocious's question. On the same note, how about PC gaming in general? With everyone staying indoors a lot more and more people getting into gaming as a result, do you think PC gaming will be affected or changed in any way due to this?
I think a lot of backlog was burnt up. Not a lot, but some.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People are obviously gaming more. I'm just wondering the effect that it has on the development side. A lot of companies are able to work remotely. Like yeah. A lot of them already were. So it doesn't affect them that much. But still, I think there's going to be, and it's not going to be hit as hard as like the movie industry, not nearly. But I think stuff is going to happen. You know, they've had to cancel all sorts of gatherings and, you know, conventions. But as far as games coming out, maybe we'll have, I don't know, maybe things will be a little weird in a year.
I think this was good for consoles. I feel like a lot of former gamers had nothing to do and went out and bought consoles. And maybe that's just going to generally make more gamers. I don't think people were like, oh, I'm locked up. Let me go buy a $3,000 computer. I think a lot of people were like, oh, let me go buy this. What's a PlayStation now? 300? I don't know.
Yeah, they're still pretty. Well, I have no idea.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I have no idea.
Like, not even a close. I think they were 400 in the count, yeah, maybe 500.
Super Nintendo is $200.
Yeah.
Next question from Sniper. What is your worst experience with a pest invasion in your home?
I think we currently have rats or raccoons. They scratch on the walls like once every like 3 weeks. So we're like, oh, we better do something about that. But then you forget about it, and then it comes back 3 weeks later.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, there's that. But, it's super annoying because we have one of those blue lights, the bug zapper, mm-hmm. that just sits on.
That thing is so loud.
It's so loud, dude. Rat-da-da! You know, it's shocking, more so for the moth or whatever it is that flew in there. But I just tell myself every time that it goes off, that's a bite, and that's not going to happen on your legs or my baby. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it goes off.
Does it go? Do you leave it on at night?
All the time. Jeez, it's just 24/7.
No, dude, it sounds like freaking Palpatine zapping somebody. at work.
Oh, really quick.
Yeah.
I guess there's a 4-hour cut of, Revenge of the Sith. No, mm-hmm. What was it called?
Rise of Skywalker.
No, third episode 3. What's that called?
Oh, yeah. Revenge of the Sith.
Revenge of the Sith. There's a 4-hour cut, I guess, that's been teased. And there's a petition to get it released.
Oh, my God, dude. All right. We don't need the Snyder cut on everything, guys. Come on.
You wouldn't watch it?
No, I would. But, no, you mentioned that. And then there was something else that I read, too, about another movie that I can't remember that was just like, we want the original. It was like some sort of comic book adjacent movie. I can't remember what it was. But it was like, we want the, I think it was Suicide Squad.
Okay.
The director was talking about how like, oh, well, my cut was like so different from the one that was released. It's like, all right, not everybody gets a fucking do over here, dude. Like, let's chill out. Or maybe they do. I don't care. Fuck it. Let's do it. I'll watch it.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're all over the place, Bobby. You're a loose cannon.
Well, I realized halfway through that, like, hey, what's the harm?
You know? What's the harm?
Let's give everyone a do over. Regarding the bug question or the pest invasion at work, we've got a real big problem with rats, mice, all sorts of wild animal, because they built that place on a big giant field. So there's a lot of nature that comes in, especially when the students aren't there and the teachers aren't there.
Like now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all overrun. but my office, when I first went in there, there was rat droppings and rat nests like everywhere. You know how they like to burrow?
Yeah.
Everywhere. And it still happens. Like there's one particular drawer in one of my cabinets that they love to nest in. I have to clean it out a couple times a year.
Jeez, weird.
And it is constant.
Raccoons at the job site, or my job site, raccoons every night. People are like, hey man, raccoons. And I was like, what do you want us to do, man? Like if we had a rat problem, we could get cats. If we had a cat problem, we could get dogs. When you have raccoons, that's the top of the food chain, I think. Like, there's what kills raccoons? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Mountain lions? I have no idea. And our raccoons are fat, dude.
Jeez. Those are the ones that like to dig in trash cans, right?
Yeah. Trash pandas, they call them.
Yep. Another question from the Livingston. With the pandemic, have your listener numbers gone up or down? More people at home with more time to listen, or less people commuting to work, so it's harder to find time to listen?
We haven't had a pandemic-related spike.
Yeah, it's been about the same. Like, we're always kind of slowly going up a little bit, and that's pretty much stayed the same.
Yeah, I did the predictions. We're actually going to be bigger than Rogan 10,000 years.
Yeah, just give it time.
Just give it time.
I will say for me, though, like, I'm finding it hard to listen to podcasts now because I don't have the commute, and I always listen in my car. So I've had to make an effort to put on podcasts while I'm doing other things where I can kind of focus on two things at once. And I don't have a lot of opportunities like that. I really don't.
Yeah. I play podcasts at work way more than I do at home. I don't know. I'm just more involved at home, I guess. Very rarely I'll be able to showers. I always play a podcast during a shower. Mm. Watering the plants, I guess that's about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Last question. This one came in from Twitch here. This is from D White Dynamite. I got another question if there's time. Bobby, will you finally play Obra Dinn? I played just to prepare for the episode like a year ago and need to hear your take. So that game, actually, I see it every time at the top of my wish list. And it's always like one of those games that I'll forget about for a little while and I'll see it and I'll go like, oh yeah, I really got to play that.
It's been on, I saw like a deep cut on price, like, it was $9, $8 recently.
Yeah.
So it's starting to go down. For a while there, it wasn't going on sale at all. And now.
Yeah. No, but that's absolutely a game I gotta play. Like, yeah. I was really hyped about that game when it came out. But, you know, it just kind of, there's so many games out there. And, you know, you play this one and that one. And eventually it becomes an old game that you don't hear anything about. And it's not at the forefront of your attention. But yeah, no, thank you for reminding me. Like, that is a game that I absolutely have to play. And probably within the next month, too. Like, oh, I'll pick that one up. I've kind of got a lot lined up here. I guess it's the end of the episode. We might as well talk about what we're playing next week. So I'm going to stay true to my word. I'm going to play Kentucky Route Zero, and I'll try to stream that. Yeah, I think
I'm going to play it, too. It's been bouncing around a little bit, too. People want to hear our take on that, too.
Yeah. So Kentucky Route Zero is going to be this week. Also, there was a game that we had got. Somebody had sent us a game to review, which is really cool that that's happening now.
It's happening a lot more.
Yeah. Developers are contacting us, giving us games to play and talk about. And this one is called Nature's Instinct. Let me look it up here.
That's a sim game, isn't it?
Yeah, but not.
I didn't take a look at it. I just read the description.
Yeah, I don't think this game is out yet, but they don't have
a Steam page.
They don't have an NDA on it, so it's okay to talk about it. Nature's Instinct game. I don't know. I'll check it out. They do have a Steam page. I don't know why I can't find it. Apparently, that's the name of a cat food. All right, I don't think that's the name of the game, but I'm going to be playing that this week. So that and Kentucky Route Zero, and then if I have time, maybe some more in Stronghold.
Cool. All right, guys, thanks for hanging around. I don't know what's going on with me. I just can't get words out for this episode or last episode. I got to work on something. I don't know what's going on. I didn't even drink that much. All right, speaking for Bobby and myself, we're going to go with whatever's on the screen and skull titties. Dangerous skull titties. Bye, everybody.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
No, it doesn't, dude.
We're looking at the Steam page right now. Skulls 4 for the Skull 4.
Yeah.
It's a little redundant.
Yeah. But it's a joke because the bad guys call blood for the blood gods. And this is just a take on that.
Warhammer.